ish. When the children come back in, it's all over anyway. So there's really no choice. It's just amazing that to worship and to listen to God speaking to people prophetically and just to be with Christians is an amazing thing. I don't ever want to lose that wonder. And I want to teach just a really, I guess probably a really simple message, but I think most of us are probably one message people and you just kind of roll it out in different ways depending on what day of the week it is and where you are. And I think I've got a PowerPoint here. I'm not sure. I don't have a controller thing, do I? I'm in your hands. Or it's not there. Oh, all right. So just pretend that there's something on the screen there. All right. So John chapter 15. I will draw a picture with my words. It's going to be so good. this is a beautiful passage. It's in John's gospel, and it's part of this part where he talks about I'm the vine, you're the branches, and from verse 9 through to verse 17 is where we're going to look at this morning. And again, simple, and yet often I've found the most simple things are the most profound things, are the things that change us the most. And it's Jesus speaking to his disciples here, he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. And if you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. So I no longer call you servants because servants do not know their master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. And in this passage here, I mean, there's a whole lot of things in this passage here, but the couple of things I would love to just to leave with you are these things here. The first thing that kind of strikes you is this, that he invites us, implores us, and even commands us to love one another. If this was my last message that I got to deliver, it would be this, that we would love each other generously, that we would love each other lavishly, that that we'd go out of our way to be kind to each other and to encourage each other and never stop inviting new people to be part of what we're doing. And love coming back here. I think I was here maybe a year ago, and just loving seeing the church growing and in size, but also in heart and in passion. It's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. And it's this invitation of being part of an incredible community of people who are loving Jesus, and as a result of that, are loving each other. And our love is shown by our love for each other. Our love for Jesus is expressed through that love for each other. To me, I think that the mutual and growing love we have for each other is the best thing we've got going for us. I know as a seeker, as a young seeker in my late teens, the thing that absolutely captivated me was meeting a community of Christians and realizing they had something that I desperately wanted, that I did not have. That I had good friends, that I was having a really an incredibly enjoyable life up to that point in time, but they had a quality of relationships that I did not have. And the love that they had, that community, just it was the most compelling thing. Obviously the words of the gospel and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and the decision to follow Jesus was what took place after that. But the incredible attractiveness of people who love Jesus and who are committed to each other and committed to being with each other and wrapping, building a life together, in a community like this. This community is full, despite the fact that it's such a beautiful place and such a fun place. There's so many people who are lonely here. There's so many people who are hidden from plain view, but they're lost in their loneliness. And, that we would be a people who would go out of our way in our love to reach out to people and invite them to become part of a loving community. It's really interesting that the I don't know if this is true, but I've heard it. You know, it's possibly an apocryphal story, but they talk about the Apostle John. He's the only one of the original 12 that, well, one of the original 12 messed up magnificently, but of the 11 that remained, John's the only one that wasn't martyred for his faith. We know that he was. That he was persecuted for his faith, and he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, and there he had a series of dreams, revelations, which were compiled into a book that we now know as it's the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. But they say that, you know, in his last days, when he was a very old, frail man, they carried him into the church. And his final message to the church was this. It was little children, love each other. Love one another. Little children, love one another. And the power of love is incredible. And it seems like Jesus is really concerned about it. You kind of go, well, you know, I don't know. I look around here, and I mean, some of these people are really easy to love, and some of them aren't. You know, the guy who's talking, he'd be pretty hard to love. You know, there's this sense that, you know, that the thing he asks us to do is both simple and profoundly difficult. And the second thing in this passage here is this thing where he says, you know, verse 9, he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. So now remain in my love. And I want to talk mostly around this thing of just remaining in the love of God this morning. That, you know, one of the things that really stands out to me in this passage here is this, that opening phrase in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And I'm guessing that we probably don't have a great deal of difficulty believing that the Father loved the Son profoundly, deeply, generously, you know, without end, infinitely. That the Father loves the Son that much. But the incredible thing is, you know, and it's easy to kind of read these verses and just kind of miss stuff. But to look at that verse and kind of, and it goes on and it says, as the Father has loved me, in the same way, I love you. You know, that we have no difficulty believing that God the Father loves God the Son. But God the Son loves us in that same way, unbroken, unbreakable. That the love that he has for us is incredible. That and he invites us and he commands us to remain and to abide in that love. He says, "Now remain in my love." That, you know, when I memorized this verse as a young Christian, it was abide in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. I've told you this so that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be complete. And he goes on and he says, you know, and even as a result of this, that whatever you ask in prayer, the Father's going to do it. It's going to come out of this incredible love relationship that we're so caught up in the love of God that we know that we are so accepted I don't know about you, but probably the thing that I've struggled with the most in my Christian life is does God, you know, I'm almost like, it's okay, does God love me? It's kind of like, well, yeah, he has to, he's God, you know. I mean, God is love. It's his deal. It's his gig. You know, I mean, he loves humanity. But does he like me? That's a whole different question. Because I know what an interesting person I can be, you know. And, you know, and you kind of go, does he actually like me? Or is it just like, well, you're in, but, you're, you know, stand in the corner. You're kind of annoying. And the incredible thing is that he's saying, no, the same love that I have for the Father, I have for you. So stay in that. Stay connected to that. Stay steeped in that love. You know, now, you may be a little bit like me, or you're pretty much better Christians than I am, but I have moments when it's quite difficult to be a Christian. You know, this is self-disclosure time, but there's moments when I read the Bible, and it's not that interesting. You know, it just feels really dry. You just kind of open the book and it's like yada 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 yada, and you close it and you kind of go, you know, time clock done. You know, I hope this is not profoundly disillusioning for you. You know, there's moments when I sit down to pray, and I just, my mind just drifts all over the place, and I kind of go, oh my gosh, I've got to go to work. You know, and I've thought about a whole lot of nothing, and called it prayer. You know, we can be in a beautiful place like this with a bunch of people singing songs, but our mind can be drifting all over the place. You know, we might have even had that experience this morning. We kind of drifted in, we drifted out, thought about lunch, thought about friends, thought about what we've got to do this week. Oh, that's right, we're singing songs. I know there's days when I go through days, I have conversations with people, I make decisions, you know, and then I kind of realize, you know, I haven't even referenced God. You know, there's been this kind of sense. I've just kind of rocked through the day, and just done it out of just my humanity. And I catch myself, remind myself that separate from God, I'm hardly living. And so, you know, we try to sense His presence again. You know, and without a show of hands, you know, I'm guessing there's a few of us here who have had that experience from time to time. Although I know that, you know, with pastors like Lyndon and Angela, you know, you probably don't have that experience, but our poor church does. You know, and so our response often is that we just try harder. You know, some cynic has said that the message that's preached in 95% of Protestant churches on a Sunday morning is this: God is amazing, He's incredible. Point two, you're not. Point three, try harder. You know, I'm going to try really hard not to kind of, you know, degenerate into that preaching this morning. But that's often the kind of message that we feel, and it seems like that from this passage here, it seems like it could be quite different from that. You know, it seems like what he's saying is that there is not this occasional connectedness, but there's this constant connectedness. Abide, remain in my love in the same way that the Father loves me, so I love you. So stay in that love. You know, don't drift from it. Keep my commands. You know, if you keep my commands, you remain in my love as I've kept my Father's commands. I mean, it's easy for us at that point to kind of go, oh, I haven't kept His commands all the time. You know, there have been times when my heart's grown cold. There has been times when I've drifted. And yet there's this invitation to that He just keeps reminding us, you know, stay in this love. That it's not like, you know, it's not like the hot water in your, if you've got an electric hot water cylinder in your house, you know that you can kind of, you can shower long, if you've got teenage kids, for a start, if you've got teenage daughters, then you know you can run out of hot water really fast if you have a hot water cylinder. But some of us in our wisdom then installed an infinity system, so it just never runs out. You know, I mean, the gas bottle might run out, but the water will never. Well, unless you're on a tank, of course. And but you know, so, I'm ruining my own story here, but but it's that kind of sense of, you know, just constantly receiving the love of God, staying in the love of God. You know, I think the early Christian mystics have a lot to teach us about this constant connectedness, because we're much more these days about, you know, about kind of getting something and putting it in, and getting something else and putting it in. But there's this sense of staying. You know, so the point is not to grab a bit of time with God to get what you need for the day and then spend the rest of the day wearing that thing out. But there's much more this kind of sense of a continual experience of God. And again, spending time with God is much more than just learning something new or reminding yourself of what you might have forgotten. It's the constant life-giving flow of God in our lives. You know, it's sustaining, it's continual. And when Paul talks later in his books, he talks about these things like, you know, so pray continually. And again, you know, and then surely we have to ask ourselves that question of, well, you know, I work in a people focused business. You know, how can I constantly pray? How can I pray continually? I work in a task focused business. You know, I've got tasks that if I don't do them properly, you know, if you're an electrician, you don't want to get the wires around the wrong way. You know, if you're a mechanic, you don't want to put the engine back the wrong way. If you're doing someone's books, you don't want to kind of mix up the income with the expenditure. You know, so how do you do these things? If you're a mum, you know, you don't want to give the kids the wrong lunch. You know, probably not a great example, but what the heck? You know, reaching for something. And it's this kind of sense of, so how do we experience this thing of this constant connection? And again, it's in the context of that he's the vine, and we're the branches. You know, and we know that our life, you know, if you know, I know a bunch of folks in here are mums of preschoolers, and you know, and the best you can hope for with preschoolers is just a snatch of time between the next demand. You know, so there must be something that he's meaning beyond the sense of just having, you know, these moments of God. And again, in verse 9, he says that as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. And there's this invitation, I think, where he's saying to understand that we're part of an unbroken love relationship. We've been adopted into God's family. And we haven't been invited into a human organization. We haven't been convinced of some intellectual philosophy. We haven't been caught up in some better spirituality than, you know, yoga and tree hugging. We've been invited into a into this incredible relationship with a God that, and this love that's been unbroken for thousands of years. That when we, at the moment, we didn't really realize what we were doing, but when we gave our lives to Christ, to follow him, that at that moment we stepped into something that had been unbroken. And we continue in this unbroken love of God. You know, and again he says, you know, it seems like there's a choice around this, but it seems like it's a choice to keep reminding ourselves of, that's right, I'm part of this unbroken thing. You know, and the command is to abide or to remain. You know, to remind ourselves that I'm a branch connected to a living vine, that I'm not designed to have life within myself. I'm not designed to kind of get myself so full of something that I don't need to stay connected. You know, and I think sometimes our spirituality pushes us to that. It's like, let's fill the tank, let's wear it out, let's fill it up again. But there's much more this kind of sense of, no, it's this continual, whether we feel close to God or whether we feel far from him. You know, and again, you know, percentages are always kind of interesting. There's 93% of statistics are made up on the spot. So, you know, but some of us would have walked into this place this morning feeling very connected to God. And, you know, as Dej began to lead us in worship, it was just like, this is just the easiest thing in the world. And others of us, it would have felt like, I feel miles away from God right now. You know, please help me. I'm gonna sing my heart out until I sense his presence. But the incredible thing is that we're connected to this vine, that whether we feel like he's close or we feel like he's far away, we remain connected. And he goes on and he says, so if you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be made complete. So my command is this, to love each other as I've loved you. And this is a really fascinating command here, that he, you know, it's interesting that the way he says this is what it means to remain in his love. He says it's not become some incredibly spiritual person. It's not get pumped up with some form of spirituality. You know, the incredible thing is he just says if the way that you stay connected to his love is to love one another. I wish there was an easier way. You know, yeah, I wish it was just pray for X amount of time and, you know, and you'll be sweet. But darn it, he makes it around this thing of loving each other. You know, don't you kind of wish that it, you know, couldn't I just take a course, you know, and we'll be gone, we'll be all good, you know, and this, you know, because we know that there's a constant temptation not to stay connected to each other. You know, it's interesting around this thing of abiding, you know, that being part of a church. See, the church is the hope of the world. The church, you're part of a beautiful church here. You're part of people who are just like you, people who are busy with life, you know, who are paying mortgages or paying rent, who are you know, raising children or raising grandchildren. You know that we're at work and we're trying to be the very best version of us in our workplace. You know, we're busy with all those kind of things, and yet the easiest thing in the world is to disconnect from other people, and yet it seems like that's the means for us to remain in the love of God, is to actually stay functionally connected to other people. You know, by ourselves, our spirituality will do one of two things. You know, either our spirituality, if we disconnect from other Christians, our spirituality will either wither away, or we'll just get kooky. It doesn't seem that there's a third option. It's one of those two things will happen, you know. And, you know, for me, you know, I've been a pastor or leader for a long time. 36 years, I think, I've been doing this kind of role. And, you know, and for me, it's often the sign when someone's not doing well in their own, in their relationship with God, is this thing of people begin to come less and less, to be less and less connected to one another. And the goal's not, you know, can we get everyone here on a Sunday? The goal is, can we stay connected? Can our hearts stay connected to each other? Because the incredible thing is this, we actually learn to be followers of Jesus, not by ourselves, but with others. You know, as we're worshiping this morning, you know, if you're having trouble worshiping, you just look around and you kind of see people engaged with what the presence of God is doing in the room. And we learn how to do that. You know, when I think back of it, you know, how did I grow as a Christian? It was I learned it from other Christians. You know, I read the book, and I read the book every day, you know. But really, I learned how to be a Christian by watching other people. I'm grateful. When I first became a Christian, I was discipled by two men who I'm, you know, really eternally grateful for. You know, one taught me to love the Word. You know, and so I went round to his place, and we did a Bible study together. I'm really grateful. He instilled in me right from almost not from day one, but from I don't know day 30 or something of following Jesus. He instilled in me this love of God, of the Word of God. Just this thing of, you know, that if I'll study that book will form me and it'll transform me. And then the other one got me out on the streets sharing my faith, you know, which initially I didn't enjoy. You know, and hand on heart, still don't enjoy. but nonetheless, what he taught in me was this thing of whatever you learn, give it away. So the first time I went out with him in an outreach down at the bottom of Queen Street in Auckland, he just said, tell your story. I'm like, I don't have a story. He says, well, how did you know, you obviously weren't a Christian and now you are one, so there's your story. I'm like, well, yeah, I can tell that story. You know, and it's whatever you get, you just give it away. And the act of giving it away, it seems to lock it in. And you know, and so I'm really grateful. I've you know, and it wasn't just those gentlemen that helped me in this thing of, you know, how do you become a follower of Jesus? But it's this thing of staying connected to each other has really helped me. And the long course of life has really helped me kind of grow. Again, you know, there's something about this thing of being together with other people, but it's about responding to God's love in our life. And you know, it's much more about responding to God than it is about making something happen. And 2 Corinthians 3:18 on the slide. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, and are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You know, and again, you know, we're into, as Lyndon so beautifully pointed out, we're about to enter winter. It actually felt like winter this morning. But you know, one of the things about winter is this, you know, it's a time when, you know, where we live, we have a few fruit trees and we've got a grapevine. You know, and that grapevine's an incredible thing. You know, so it's a time of year that we prune it, and we prune it back. You know, prune back the growth that's produced the fruit. And you know, one of the incredible things is this: that when you prune it back, you know, the next year is just as the days get longer and longer, it puts out buds, and those buds burst into life as a response of just being exposed to light, to the presence, you know, to the presence of light. It's not like they have this brilliant calendar. It's kind of like, oh my gosh, you know, it's the 1st of September. It's time to burst buds out. You know, it's in response to the light that shines on it, and then it puts out branches, and out of those little branches, there's already formed these little minute clusters of grapes. It's an amazing thing. You know, and we kind of get used to it because it happens every year, but it's always in response to the light. It's always in response to this presence. So when he's saying here, and we all with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, we're being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You know, it really is. He's trying to get a hold of us here and remind us of, you know, there's things that we do that just cause us to be exposed to the light, to be exposed to his presence. You know, some things I do. You know, a few years ago I went out and bought a really cheap chair, but it was cheap. I think it cost $90. I think that's cheap. Felt cheap. And it was called a Sally chair, which maybe someone called Sally designed it. But it is the most. It's a really basic chair, but it's so comfortable. It's the most comfortable. We've got these big padded chairs in our house. But this simple Sally chair is the most comfortable chair in the house. It sits in my study. And every morning I sit in this chair and I look forward to it. Every morning I make an espresso. I sit there. I was going to say I open my Bible, but I actually turn on the iPad. And I begin to read. I I just enjoy sitting there. You know, there's something around this thing of just when he says, and so with unveiled faces, we contemplate the Lord's glory. This, you know, all of us have these things around, you know, our spiritual practices. But one of the things I guess that's really helped me over the years is this. There's some things are just really hard work, and they don't usually sustain you. And there's other things that become a joy. The more you do them, the more you enjoy. I actually enjoy getting up, making a coffee, and sitting in the Sally chair, reading the scriptures. You know, and often after I've read the scriptures, you know, who feels like praying when they're, well, actually some of you are probably morning people, but I am not a morning person. So I don't spring out of bed and kind of go, I can't wait to pray. You know, it's more like, good night, it's morning already. You know, but having read some scripture, then I feel like my heart's ready to pray something back to God. And then having prayed something back to him, I find that I just want to start writing. I start writing in my journal the things that God's speaking to me. And it seems like one of the principles around this thing of growing in our faith is just following this joy, following the thing that brings you alive. To follow the joy. For me to go into my study and to sit in that Sally chair, turn on the heater at this time of the year with a coffee and start reading is following the joy. It's like this is coming into its presence. Let me pull this to a something of a conclusion if I possibly can. It seems like there's a number of things that we do that can really help us grow. But if we're trying to use them to make us grow, it almost works against us. You know, it seems cruel in some ways. But if you try and use reading the Bible to make you grow, it actually just turns you into a Pharisee usually. But if we contemplate his glory, you know, that we're learning this life out of being with a group of people who love Jesus, and we catch something of that, and we kind of go, the way to grow is to spend time with God. The way to spend time with God is we spend time in reading and in prayer. You know, that actually is the thing that helps us grow. And again, it seems like the over and over again, it's responding to the invitation of God. You know, and one of the questions in a moment that I want us to contemplate would be this. Is what's his invitation to us today? You know, what's he inviting us to do? What's he inviting us to respond to? You know, and if we find ourselves more and more doing things that don't seem to feed our soul, you know, we should probably stop doing them. And until we find that we're contemplating the Lord's glory, until we find that we're in this place and we're following the joy and it actually is bringing us life. See, I don't think it's meant to be hard work. Following Jesus. I think it's a response. He initiates, we respond. He initiates, we respond. My world is divided into two groups. There's those who love Marmite and there's those who don't. There's most of the world would find the thing an abomination. One of our favorite things to do when we have American friends come and visit is to invite them to put Marmite on their toast and spread it on thick, and it is a New Zealand delicacy. Enjoy it; it's awesome. It has an evil cousin called Vegemite. but have you ever kind of wondered why do I like this thing? You know, because for all intents and purposes, you took a step back. It smells bad, it looks bad, and it tastes bad. Except we love it. And the reason we love it is because our mum and our dad, when we were helpless little babies, spread it on these little fingers of toast and stuffed it down our mouths when we were completely helpless. And in our wordless state, we were going like, no, don't make me eat that stuff. But because our parents in their goodness just kept feeding it to us, we actually developed a great appetite for it. And it seems a little bit like this is what it is with this thing of growing in God, of this thing of abiding and staying with Jesus. That sometimes it's just you just start with something, and then the more you do it, the more you need it, the more you love it. And it's follow the joy. If you're a Vegemite person, may the Lord have mercy on you. But just you follow that. You just have it. When there's a choice between Vegemite and Marmite, you just reach for the one that you love. And in the same way, there's this sense that how do we grow as Christians? We reach for the thing that brings us joy. We reach for the thing that satisfies our appetite. You know, Let me give you one last thing, and then I truly will be done. All the kids will be in here, and we'll all be done. There's a beautiful verse in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. You know, because I'm sure there'll be some of us that are here today, and you're kind of sitting there going like, but I've tried all this. You know, I've tried loving God. I've tried staying connected to church. I've tried these kind of spiritual practices. And it still doesn't feel like I'm making progress. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you might be able to stand your ground, and having done everything, to stand. So stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, keep alert and keep on praying for all God's people." But the word that's in there is a really interesting word, because it says, having done everything, stand. And then it says, so stand therefore. And there's moments when the best thing that we can do, and when it doesn't feel like we're making progress, is to stand. It's not to go backwards, you know. You know, in this moment, when Rachel and Lyndon, brought those words this morning around this sense of that there's things that God's spoken to you about that he wants to, if I'm remembering what they said right, that he wants to bring back to your memory. There's moments when we know that we were close to God. There's moments when we know that God spoke things to us. And you know, one of the beautiful things about being part of a church family is this, that we call those things back to each other. That what he was speaking to us, you know, when they were both speaking this morning, there is this sense that he's stirring something in people's hearts, you know. And one of my kind of little catchphrases that I often use, you know, when people are struggling, is this: safety always lies in going on, it never lies in going back. Safety is never about going backwards. It's always about taking the next step forward. And if you can't take the next step forward, it's just to stop, and it's to stand. And having done everything, stand. Just keep standing in what we know is true. You know, and right now, because I know whenever you assemble a group of people together, there'll be some of us who are we're just having the most beautiful season with God right now in our lives. We're growing, we're enjoying things that, you know, our prayers are being answered. It's just beautiful. There's others of us that are actually in one of the most difficult seasons of our life. And it feels like, you know, no matter what I do, you know, in the Old Testament it talks about, you know, the heavens being like brass, you know. And you may be in one of those seasons where it feels like your prayers are just not getting off, they're not getting beyond the ceiling. The heavens are like brass. And having done everything, stand. You know, don't let our hearts get cold. Don't neglect coming, and assembling together. You know, like I say, my observation of being a pastor for a jolly long period of time has been this, that it's almost when people stop gathering together, it's almost the end. It's very difficult to come back from that place where you kind of go, I'm so discouraged. You know, we're singing songs, and in my heart I'm like, I wish it was true. You know, and yet, just being together with a bunch of people reminds us that it is true. You know, when we sing those words, we see other people singing those words, it reminds us that we are powerful, we are prophetic people simply by the fact of us being here, simply by the fact of saying, I'm part of this thing and I'm not going to give up. See, sometimes progress is just simply made by not giving up, by not turning back. You know, and if you're in one of those seasons today, you know, we would love to pray with you, and the people around you would love to pray with you, that God would just continue to give you the ability just to stand. And to not turn back. You know, again, this message this morning is a really simple message. It's this, that in the same way that the Father loves the Son loves you. He loves you with that same sense. He loves you with that same powerful love that will not let us go. It's an incredible thing that he's got, that he's caught us with. You know, and that God does all the inviting, that he does all the initiating, that he does all the pursuing. And he is pursuing us today. And all he's asking us to do is just allow ourselves to be caught. You know, we run, but just allow him to catch us. All we got to do is not break that connection. So can we stand? That's the best I've got, so I'm done. And you know, if you're in one of those beautiful spiritual spaces this morning where it's like this is an adventure. I'm stoked. You know, I'm stoked to be alive. I'm stoked to be here, loving what God's doing in my life. You know, just in a sense, just lean back, lean back into that comfortable chair of yours. You know, spirit. You know, figuratively speaking, don't want you to sit back down again. but lean back into this, into that lovely sense of you know, this is a great season. Enjoy it. For those that are really struggling, you know, it took you a lot to be here today. You know, you had to push through a whole lot of reasons, a whole lot of kind of feelings, to not be here. I think the Lord's got something really beautiful for you today. So, I'd invite us. I'm going to ask that the Holy Spirit would draw near, that the kingdom of God would advance in us. So, if you don't, you can do whatever you want. There's no compulsion here, but if you would like to, I'd love to invite you just to close your eyes, and you know, to the best of your ability, posture yourself in such a way as to receive something from God. And it might be you want to put your hands out to receive. It might be you want to put your hands in your pockets. It's absolutely fine, but just posture yourself in a way that God could give you something that you need this morning. So, shall we do that? So, Holy Spirit, I want to ask you that the same love, the love that the Father has for us, right now, you would let us feel that love. Would you give us a taste of that love this morning? And if our souls feel empty, would you come and fill them? Would you come? And you know, I know that this is prophetic, but or just it's a statement of fact. But I feel like he's saying to many people here this morning, well done. You got here. Well done. You know, it just seems that it's the simplest and often the weakest things that we do that just attracts his presence, that attracts his love and his mercy. Well done. You're here. So let his love settle on you. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. And come and fill us, Lord. Come more, Lord. Come, touch our hearts. Would you brush away the distractions? Let us receive your love as the branch is connected to the vine. It doesn't have to struggle. It doesn't have to do anything. It just has to be connected. And so, Lord, let us feel that connection. Let the love of Christ fill us today. Now, right around the room here, the Holy Spirit is just going to begin to speak to you. He's going to whisper some things into your heart, not audibly, but in your heart, and in that sense of knowing. What I love you to do is, I would love you to just say yes, Lord. As he speaks, just say yes, Lord. He usually says something quite extravagant, you know, and our natural response is to bat it away and just think that's my imagination. But the most extravagant thing that you've heard this morning, as you've stood in his presence, just say, yes, Lord. Very hard to believe, but yes, Lord. Thanks, Father. Thanks.
Hey guys, so this morning our little neighbour came over and just hung out with the girls while they're having breakfast and we're getting ready for church, and the little girl said to my daughter, "Oh, my mum says I'm a princess," and my four-year-old responded, "Well, God says I'm a princess." And I was just sitting like down the other end of the house and I was like, "Oh, that's so cool, she knows that God says she's a princess." And it's funny because this morning before we even got to church, I really felt strongly that God was saying to me, and perhaps he's saying to others as well, who do I say you are, and do you believe that you are who I say you are? So whether it's like, do I believe that God truly loves me more than anything, like unconditionally? If I believe that, how does that change my life and my response to God and to others? If I believe that God says, like, you're a warrior, you can do this, you can pray, you're a warrior. If I believe that, how does that change my life, my response to God, my response to others? And I just feel, I feel this is not just for me. I feel there might be others out there. What's God telling you? What's God saying you are? And if you believe that, how's that going to change you? How's it going to change the way you respond to God and the way you respond to others? Because I believe that, yeah, God does put stuff in us and he tells us things. And, yeah, I feel like, watch out, world, because we've got an awesome God and he can do amazing things through us if we let him. So, yeah.
Isn't that beautiful? I'd love for us to have we got time to pray for people? Can we just, if you've had that sort of nudge from God this morning, he's maybe there's been that sense you kind of go, I think he's saying this to me, but it's quite hard for me to believe. Sometimes it's really helpful to have other people come and pray for you. And so what I'd love for us to do, if that's you, and you know, and you kind of like, I'm pretty sure he said something to me. It feels a little bit outrageous, you know. It feels a little bit self-aggrandizing. It's probably the Lord. And if that's you, would you mind just putting your hand up? And we're going to get people around you just to pray with you, you know, because that's what it means to, you know, this command. This is what it means to abide in the love of God, is that we would love one another. And one of the ways that we can love each other is to pray for each other. So can we do that? Just pop your hand up. Nothing to be embarrassed about. This is great when God does this. So, and just look around you and see, you know, who's God been speaking to that we can really bless, and maybe even ask if God will give you something prophetic. So, just keep your hand up high until there's a couple of people around you. That'd be great. So, let's look around, church. You guys,
would be wonderful. Thank you.